For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
G'day everyone, welcome back to the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. I am your host, Lyle Swithenbank. This is a sportsethos.com presentation. You can follow us on Twitter at Ethos Pelicans, at Lyle Swithenbank. If you've got time, go onto your Apple device and give us a rate and review, hopefully a 5-star, if not, don't bother. And anywhere else that you listen to us, yeah, the rate and reviews help us grow, and if you can leave a comment as well, we love that stuff. It's great to read the comments and see how people are listening from all over the world and enjoying the show. So last episode was a little while ago. If you haven't been following along on Twitter, I have been on vacation, and vacation to the United States. You know, I've been talking about this for, yonks now. And now sitting in New Orleans in our apartment that we've got on Barone Street, and lovely little apartment that we've got, single bedder, but very spacious, would recommend if you come into the town. And it's not not at all expensive. It was, I don't know, about $100 Australian a night. So anyway, that's a hot tip for where we're staying. But I digress. Lovely to be in New Orleans after, gosh, a long time. 2017 was the last time I was here. Feels like a lifetime ago. A lot has changed to now be in New Orleans. Last night in the arena watching our Pelicans take on the Indiana Pacers. We're going to talk about that game today, as well as a quick recap of the games that we've missed. The last week before we got here, where we're actually in New York, was cold and miserable, and the weather was woeful, but New York at Christmas time is just stunning. So, you know, had a wonderful week there. Wasn't really much time to get pods out, so that's why you got a bit of a hiatus. But otherwise, we're back. We're getting into them. We'll get them flying as much as we can. I've got a bit of a setup here in the apartment, so, you know, we'll get those episodes out as quickly as we can after the game, as we like to do. So, like I said, we're going to have a chat about the Indiana Pacers game. My first game as the Pelicans podcaster, sitting in the arena. We were in section 107 behind the basket. Got a different view than where I'd usually sit if I was in Perth at the Perth Arena, but I quite like behind the basket. You get a really close-up view of the guys. I mean, we're in the eight rows back, so it was pretty awesome. We were spotted on the broadcast a couple of times, which was pretty cool as well. And there's a highlight that's on Twitter at the moment of Najee Marshall's awesome pass that he made to Billy Hernan Gomez for and one. And we sort of peek in at the top corner. But anyway, I'll put it on Twitter, but you can find that in your own time. So I've rattled on enough about the trip and how good it was. The Pacers. So this was a bit of a danger game. The Pelicans, before the game, we were told, has pretty much been decimated by COVID. Over the Christmas period, everyone decided to get together and get themselves a bit of the spicy cough. Zion was out. He was on his return. He's got his COVID conditioning. You know, they take a bit of time to get your legs under you after COVID. Trey Murphy was out. Dyson Daniels out. We had Herb Jones out. Brandon Ingram remained out. Larry Nance played. So we were down. We were down to 10 players, and what it meant was that we had this next man up mentality, and we know that the Pelicans have been good at that. The Pelicans committee, as we've coined it throughout the journey, has always been good at stepping up in those key moments. But it was a game where you've got a hot shooting team in the Indiana Pacers who've been playing great in the Eastern Conference. Tyrese Halliburton looks like an all-star this year. He's been great. And then a bunch of young guys who have just chipped in throughout, and they've surprised a lot of teams. What it meant is that the Pacers really came in almost as favourites, and that's because the people that aren't there, and that's on paper, of course. You know, we know our team, and we know that they were going to have a crack. No worries. It didn't matter who was out there. It's more the name on the front that matters, as we've heard that saying. Than who's not there. And honestly, I did not expect us to come out and run away 20-point victors, 113-93, the final score. And it was led by guys like Najee Marshall, Jackson Hayes, Billy Hernan Gomez, Jonas Valanciunas, of course, was great, as well as CJ McCollum. He's been really good the last couple of games, particularly in this winning streak that we're on at the moment, a three-game winning streak, with the back-to-back against the Spurs and the OKC, and then we start off the post-Christmas time with another victory, which, honestly, it was easy to say, all right, these guys aren't here, we're going to give it up. And instead, everyone else jumped in and said, no, we're going to win this game. And, you know, we came out and played our way. We defended the living daylights out of it. We rebounded, which has been something that, when we lose, we don't do very well, but when we do it, we give ourselves a really good chance to win. Very impressive to see how we decimated that, and, you know, we run away with the 20-point win. So, go to the quarter by quarter. First quarter, honestly, we couldn't score the basket. It took a lot of time before we got ahead. And I think they jumped out by about 12 points at one point. I think it was 18 to 12, and then we just turned it on. It was like we flicked a switch, we put a couple of the bench guys in, and we were away, finishing that quarter 24-18, and actually, holding them to 18 points in the whole quarter, which was great. Second quarter, 33-20. Now, no team in the first half shot very well, but luckily, we sort of shot better than they did, and that was done by crashing the offensive boards, getting second possessions, making them turn the ball over, securing possessions, single possessions for us. You know, if they miss the shot, securing that rebound. All of those things were just really, really well done, and that translated to easy baskets at the other end. Effective driving and kicking and scoring in the paint. I thought we were really, really good at punishing them in the paint. Miles Turner got himself in foul trouble early on, and we took advantage of the smaller guys coming in. That quarter, we blew it wide open, 33-20, and, you know, we were in the driver's seat for the rest of the game, 33 in the third quarter to 24. And in the last quarter, they scored 31-23, pulling it back to 20 points. You know, at one point, we were way ahead, closer to 30 points. But we sort of pulled the pin, and, you know, their young guys came in, hit a few shots, started getting a bit feisty, and we secure the victory. What I liked is that they started going on a little run. I think it got within 18 or something. And so Willie Green said, oh, well, there might be 3 minutes left. Let's call a timeout and just get the guys to settle. We'll close this game off properly. And I think it's very easy to say, all right, well, you know, you're up by 20, and then they drag it back to 10 points, and then you've got to make a business decision as to do you get your starters back in, which you never like to see. When you've got teams on the ropes like this, you don't want to let them finish a game strong. Take the momentum out of the game, and I think Willie Green did a really good job in this one in managing the game, and any time they started getting on a run, he just pulled the pin and said, let's have a timeout, let's reset and get some guys with some different matchups in and different skill sets. And I think that really changed what we were looking for. And honestly, it kept the Pacers on their toes, which I think has been really, really good adjustments. And no doubt Willie Green's been working his tail off to be able to check that and make sure that we can continue to improve as a team despite the guys who aren't there. So, the key stats, we shot 45% from the field, 90 possessions, 41 of them made shots, and they had 83, shot 35 of 83, 42%. They were woeful from outside, 25%, 9 of 35 to our 12 of 40. And I'm liking the three-point attempts going up. This is without guys who, you know, play, I suppose, more interior, excluding Trey Murphy. But for the most part, the rest of the guys would probably score more in the paint, Zion in particular. So it was good to see that those three-point attempts continue to trend upwards, because that's what the modern NBA is. You have to be able to shoot threes. And I think when you take those shots and they fall, you know, that's what you want to see happen. And it makes everyone else's job so much easier when you've got guys like JV and Zion, paint-dominant guys. You need to have that outside scoring as well as the 1-2 punch, the kick-out, the good-to-great and the paint-to-great shots that Willie Green likes to preach. Free throws, we had... That was pretty even, 24 to 20, 19 of 24. We did well, 79%, missed a couple, but again, you win the free throw battle. Assists, we had 30 assists. That's 30 assists on 41 made field goals. That is honestly exceptional. To think that the ball was moving, there was unselfishness, and that's what happens when your stars are out. Everyone just plays together. Everyone just plays to win. You know, there's no ulterior motive to try to get certain stats, and I don't think our stars really do that, but you know, it really feels like people are putting each other in a position to succeed, which I thought was exceptional again. So I mean, this is a happy pod. Of course it's a happy pod, why wouldn't it be? We're in New Orleans. So total rebounds 54 to 36 in favor of us, fast break points 19 to 17, and points off turnovers 19 to 17. So again, we were close in that. You don't want to turn the ball over, but if you do, well, you make sure you exploit it. And both teams sort of did that. They cancelled each other out. We had, they had 13 turnovers in total, and we had 14. So, you know, we took care of the ball better than we had in previous games. And you really want to get those turnovers down. I think anything more than 10 to 12 is probably where you want to be at. Anything more is starting to get too many. When you start having 17, 18, 19, you know, that's just being sloppy with the basketball. So we'll keep those down and you continue to succeed. So what else did we like? Well, we'll go to the box score. For them, their leading scorer was Ben Mathurin off the bench, the rookie, 15 points. Tyrese Haliburton had himself a stinker with 12. Miles Turner, 14, Naismith, 10, and Buddy Hield, 12. He got going a little bit, but we saw it was a little bit too little too late. Now for us, it was the Pelicans committee. Everyone that played except Garrett Temple scored, which is what you love to see. Najee Marshall started, had 22 points. The Knife, as he is now known, as Willie Green called him. 22 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 block. And honestly, Najee Marshall got whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted. He was hitting 3-pointers. He was scoring at the basket. He shoots free throws. He pushes the pace. He's strong. He's tough as an old boot. And he honestly is just going from strength to strength. Every time someone's been out and he's gone into the starting lineup, and even when he's played big minutes off the bench, he has come in and changed the game, and Najee Marshall this year has been at another level. You know, remember when we thought about him back with Stan, and we go, this kid's all right, and he earned himself a proper contract off the two-way, made Josh Hart expendable, and then he sort of had a down year with Willie Green, and it was like, oh, what do you mean? What's going on here? Well, Najee is a critical piece in our success, and he's been great, honestly, and if he was coming up to free agency, we'd have to pay for him, because he is going to be sought after the way he plays. Jackson Hayes, 31 minutes. He was actually the leader in minutes in this game. Got the start in place of Zion. 15 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 blocks. He is freakishly athletic. And after the last game where he dominated as well, had himself a car, I think 21 points, he looked really good. He took that opportunity. And the thing about Jackson Hayes is that it's so hard, but when you get to December, after he sat for so long, he always seems to just turn it on. It's like, all right, well, I better start playing now. You know, the cold weather is making him feel good. And he starts performing at a different level. And It's unfortunate that he can't do that consistently. You know, that's always been the knock on him, is this consistency with Jackson. But what we did see was those flashes of sheer athleticism, a two-handed block off the backboard, which was unreal. He was catching lobs. He did this like up and under layup that was incredible at one point, under the basket, and blocking everything, moving his feet on defense. He can guard perimeter defenders. And if you could just get him to do it all the time, you know, you found yourself this absolute athletic specimen, but it's just unlocking him 100%. And I don't know whether or not that'll happen. He's up for a contract at the end of the year, and I just don't know what happens with him and where he ends up. But, you know, I liked what he did, and he contributed a great amount in this game. I thought he was really, really good. And the last two games, actually, he's been really good. JV, 28 minutes, 20 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 10 of 18 shooting. He also reached his 300th career double-double, which is only the 88th player to do that in NBA history. So just let that sink in, that of 300, in 300 of his games over his, I don't know how many years he's been in, 8, 9 years, you know, he's got 300 double-doubles. That's crazy. And the points, rebounds, double-doubles. One of 88 players ever to do it. And so when you've got a talent like that and you actually use him and put him in positions to be successful against favorable matchups, you know, he can still carry us. Like what happened last year where we had the injuries. He was massive for us. And he continues to be again now. So honestly, awesome game from Jonas. He was too strong for him. He got all of their guys in foul trouble throughout the journey, and the ones that they kept putting on him were too small, and he just kept out-muscling him. CJ McCollum, 19 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 5 of 14 shooting. And one thing I liked about CJ in this one is that he didn't go shot hunting quite as much as he probably usually does. I thought he really got his teammates involved early. And when you don't look for your own shot first, but you look to create, your shots then become easier later on because other guys have had to be held accountable. You've made other guys too dangerous. So by getting Najee going, by getting Jackson Hayes going, other players can't sag off them to go to you because they know that you're going to give them the ball. So I really like what CJ did. And, you know, he's still got his 19 points. He's still looking really good. Obviously, 5 of 14 is not what you want to see, but 6 of 7 free throws, which... you get to the line, you convert, that's all we can ask. It's good. Jose got the start as well. 8 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, 3 of 11 shooting. So not a great shooting night from him. But again, pushes it every single time down the floor. He guards 94 feet. And honestly, watching him in real life, he is so much faster than what you see on TV. He is just an absolute menace. And honestly, it's awesome to watch all of the stuff that he does away from the ball that you may not notice. But if you watch him throughout the game, he is on whoever he's guarding all the time. And I mean, as someone who's played a bit of basketball, it would be absolutely frustrating having someone like that just follow you around, just bumping you a little bit all the time, just an irritant. And we love what he brings. He doesn't back away from anything. Garrett Temple had 18 minutes. He had himself a rebound, an assist, and a couple of steals. That was very good. Devontae Graham had 11 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists. Larry Nance, 4-4-2 and 1 steal. Billy Hernangómez, 7-7, a couple of assists and a block. And Kyra Lewis Jr., who had his first basket at the Smoothie King Center in over 330 days. He had 7 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist, and 1 steal. So, honestly, really great to see that that we continue to win despite who's out there. You know, second in the West now, we're only behind Denver. And when you've got a team that has the ability to continue to win when so many of their starters are out, well, that's big time. That's so imperative down the stretch because the playoffs are about finding different matchups and different small moves that you can do to get an advantage, small advantages, and responding to other adversities that the other team makes with their adjustments. So having so many different looks and different players that you can put in and mix and match and that you trust, it's going to be big time down the stretch, because everyone's going to move back into their normal roles, but they've had the experience of playing in expanded roles. No one's scared of the moment, and I think that's really important when you get into the playoffs and you want to be successful long term. So really good overall. So with that being said, we might go to a break. We'll be back after this. We will just have a chat about what happened in the last week when I was away, and then we'll wrap up, and yeah, then I'll speak to you after this.
Mike Rowe here with a few thoughts on my favorite sweatshirt, a classic zip-up hoodie that used to be navy blue but has since faded to what the fashionistas call a distressed indigo. It's 13 years old, soft as a flannel bathrobe, and after a few hundred dirty jobs, demonstrably and undeniably indestructible. This is the kind of sweatshirt girlfriends like to permanently borrow, but I've held on to this one because I got it from American Giant. American Giant makes all their stuff right here in the USA, so they can control every link in their own supply chain. That matters, because when you buy American Giant, you not only get great quality, you create jobs for people in factory towns all over the country. No pressure, but if you give a damn about the business of making things in America, you got to support the companies who are doing it right. Go to American-Giant.com/Mike to get 20% off your first order. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. Lyle here, reporting from Barone Street in New Orleans. Before the break, we discussed the Indiana Pacers game. The great victory by the Pelicans, 20 points in the Smoothie King Center, 113-93. And honestly, just a next man up mentality. Everyone played their role and everyone stepped up and filled the void that Zion and B.I. and Herb and Trey and Dyson all bring. Everyone else just stepped up, played their role and executed. And really proud of the guys, and great to kick off our little holiday with a victory in the Smoothie King Center. I tell you what, that guy Eddie Johnson from the Suns, you know, the one that I don't like, he said that there was a sound machine that the Pelicans put into the Smoothie King Center to make it louder in there. I tell you what, that is the loudest place I've ever been in. I don't know if it's the acoustics or it's just the passion from the fans, but honestly, it was rocking. There's no sound machine, or if there is, it's very well obscured. But honestly, the fans and the passion from everyone was just awesome. And to see how passionate everyone is about this team. I mean, it's great. It's awesome to be a part of this community and experience the fandom with everyone else in the room. You know, that really was, it's been phenomenal. And to share it with Lark as well, you know, if you see us, she'll be walking around with us as well. You know, that's been really awesome to experience that. And she's a rabid Pels fan as well, so no doubt has been enjoying it and enjoyed last night. It was one for the memories forever, I think. Yeah, it was pretty cool. So, with that being said, the last week, before we wrap up, well, we went on a 4-game losing streak after the 7-game win streak, and then responded with a 3-game winning streak. So we had the back-to-back before Christmas, which was Spurs and OKC. Again, different guys in and out of the lineup, but it was a bad execution, honestly. We were up 20 points against OKC. We then squandered that, let them back in the game, and took them to overtime, which was just so frustrating that we had to go all the way to that just to scrap tooth and nail to drag out a 3-point victory. Again, at the end of the day, you take those victories, you learn from them, you adjust, and no one looks back at the end of the year and says, well, you know, you won 50 games, but one of those games was in OT against OKC after you squandered a 20-point lead. We don't look back at that. You say that was a 50-win team, you know. Teams that win 60 games may have won them on a buzzer beater, you know. It doesn't matter if you win by 1 point or you win by 20. You take that little W and you put it in your pile of other Ws. And at the end of the day, they count all those up and that tells you where you are in the playoffs or in the standings, you know. And currently we're at 21-12 at 636 is what our percentage is. At home, 14-4, away, 7-8. We know that we've been worse on the road, but you win at home, you win the ones you're meant to. In our division, 6-1, which is great. And, you know, our point differential is plus 5.4, which is, has to be close to the best in the league, I think. Second only to Boston and Cleveland. So second and third to Boston and Cleveland, who are slightly ahead in the points differential. But otherwise, we're top 10 in offense, we're top 10 in defense. Now it's about stringing some wins together and getting some guys healthy. We need to get the team back together, and particularly soon, because I want to see them live. But anyway, I think I might leave it at that. Thanks to everyone that came up to us at the game yesterday and the people that stopped us in the street and the like. It is awesome to meet people and put faces to the names. So if you're out and about and you see, you know, that mustachioed Australian ginger walking around, come up and say hello and we'll have a chat. And, you know, it's always great to talk to other Pels fans and people that listen to the show or follow us on Twitter and things like that. It is really nice and great to get to know everyone. So keep doing it, because it's great to see that people are out there, you know, and great to get to know all these people from all over the world. It's wonderful. So with that being said, this has been the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. I'm your host, Lyle Swithenbank, at Ethos Pelicans on Twitter, at Lyle Swithenbank. Check out sportsethos.com for pretty much every sport. We got heaps of different things. You got disc golf now, football, baseball, hockey, all that fun stuff. So check it all out, as well as all the basketball stuff. Sportsethos.com. Otherwise, stay safe. I'll be at the Minnesota game tomorrow in stadium. So if you see me out and about, we'll come and say hello. We'll have a beer and have a chat. And otherwise, stay safe. And of course, bye for now.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.